Right now, let's talk to Alderman Matt Martin. He's got a proposal in front of City Council in Chicago to try to help people who are struggling to make rent right now. Alderman, thanks for coming on with us. Thanks for being on WGN.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
So here's the deal. So you are Northside, Northside Alderman, 47th Ward, which is roughly what? You got, is Lakeview partly in that? You're in Lincoln Square?
A little bit West Lakeview, Lincoln Square, Ravenswood, North Center, the three biggest areas. And then we also have some bits of Roscoe Village, Uptown, and Andersonville.
Okay, but this legislation that you introduced into City Council, it would be citywide if it passes. And talk about what it is you're trying to propose here to help folks who are having a difficult time making their rent payments.
Yeah. So this is an ordinance and a resolution that are tackling the twin issues of rent and mortgage, because we've received calls and spoken with dozens and dozens of folks, tenants, as well as some landlords who have said, I've lost income. Maybe I've lost my job entirely due to COVID-19, or my renter has lost income. I'm an owner-occupier of a two-flat. I don't know how I'm going to make mortgage. And so what we did was we started talking with folks. We were looking at what other big cities were doing, L.A. in particular, as well as talking with folks throughout the ward and the city, the administration. And what we settled on, what we thought was a good initial proposal, was two things. One is, based on what the city of LA had done, an ordinance that would say if you lost income during the stay-at-home period and you weren't able to pay part or all of your rent, that once the stay-at-home order lifts, you would have up to 12 months to pay that back rent, specifically thinking about those independent contractors who have lost their income and aren't even able to get unemployment benefits yet through no fault of their own. And then the companion piece is saying, look, we know that folks have significant expenses if they're owners of property. Mortgages is a really big one. And so taking a page out of the books of places like California, New Jersey, you had a big public proclamation that up to 90 days of mortgage forbearance would be offered to folks, borrowers who lost income. So that's something that we're very much urging happens here in Illinois, because we need both of those things to happen simultaneously. Otherwise, we're not going to adequately deal with our housing crisis.
There's no question that it is a crisis. And I saw that the Chicago Emergency Rent Relief Fund that went out, about a month ago, they had 2,000, they had enough funds there to help about 2,000 renters, but over 80,000 people applied for those funds. Clearly, the demand is there. Clearly, people need that kind of help here. But I have a different question. If you lost your income due to the virus, no fault of your own, I get that, you'd have up to 12 months to pay. But what if you rent from a small-time landlord who isn't going to be able to make their mortgage? Isn't there sort of a trickle effect there? Not all of the people who own places are big-time, you know, wealthy people, and they may not be able to afford to get through this. What would be the allowances for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've heard from those folks leading up to April 1st. There was one particular homeowner who said, I live in a two-flat. I rent out one of the units. My tenant lost their job. They're not going to be able to make rent, and I still have a mortgage payment that's due. And so what the federal government has done is, through the CARES Act, it said, if your mortgage is backed by Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, another federal entity, we're going to require that they provide affected homeowners with up to 12 months of mortgage forbearance. So that means that you don't have to pay, and that either there would be a payment once that forbearance period is over, or you tack it on to the end of your mortgage. So you have an amount of breathing room. But Freddie and Fannie only cover half of the mortgage market. So you've got folks whose mortgages are backed privately, and it's a piecemeal system. Sometimes they might get some assistance, sometimes not. And so I think that it's really important, as you indicated, that we move on both the rent and the mortgage piece simultaneously, because there are plenty of folks who are offering, like, let's be honest, what's affordable housing in a lot of communities, including places like Ravenswood, North Center, Lincoln Square, and they aren't in the position to be able to pay mortgage and other expenses in perpetuity. They need assistance too. And so while the city, we are in a position to take leadership on the rent piece, it's very much my hope and expectation that we can have other levels of government thoughtfully and aggressively tackle the mortgage piece. That's why the resolution was introduced alongside with the ordinance, to really call upon them to do that. And my hope is that when they do that, that we'll be ready to do our part as part of a joint effort, because how we get through COVID is really shared sacrifice.
What's the response you're getting from city council? Does this seem likely to pass and pass soon? Because I guess now would be the time when people need this sort of relief. It's not the kind of legislation that can really stall for a long time, right?
Yeah, we've got we've had a lot of great reception from folks. It's been formally endorsed by both the Chicago Progressive Caucus as well as the Latino Caucus. It'll be formally introduced tomorrow. But look, I want to make sure that this legislation is as thoughtful as possible and that it has as broad support as possible. And so that means continuing to talk with tenants, continuing to talk with landlords, continuing to engage with the Lightfoot administration on this issue. And of course, my colleagues, because I want to ensure that while I think this what we introduced is a very important first step, that everyone has a voice, and that we make sure that it's tailored in a way that it can get that support and it can have a meaningful impact.
So tomorrow you're going to introduce it, is that right, the city council meeting?
Mm-hmm. So it was technically shared with the clerk's office yesterday, because now that we're not meeting in person, we need just a little bit of time to do stuff electronically. It'll be formally introduced tomorrow, and then there's not a date set for when there would be a hearing or a vote on it, but it's just about the process of workshopping it, making sure that it's as strong as possible and that it has broad support.
We have a good question from a listener here. I don't know the answer. Maybe you do. 708. If in forbearance, are you still required to pay insurance and taxes, property taxes? Is that right?
Yeah. So it's my understanding that definitely property taxes, as well as people have utilities and other fees. So that's one of the critical issues that we're looking at. As many of your listeners will know, if you've lost income and you're struggling to pay your utilities, we've got programs for that, whether it's the city's water department or places like People's Gas and ComEd. They have their own payment deferment programs, which I think is great. When it comes to issues particularly around property taxes, that's something that's going to be a big part of the conversation, because we know that typically that bill would come due in August or September, and a lot of folks, regardless of whether they have renters, if they're just homeowners themselves, they're going to be struggling. And that's why I think it's really critical that we continue to talk about these efforts as relating to both rent and mortgages and homeownership generally. But it's certainly something that's on our radar and is part of a broader set of conversations that we've all been having at various levels of government, because property taxes are used by multiple levels of government.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, you think about rent even in your neck of the woods of Lakeview and Lincoln Square and those places. Even a $1,200 stimulus check does not go very far in covering a rent payment if you're out of work right now. I'm sure you're hearing that from people who live in your ward.
Absolutely. And I think people have been saying that across the city. It's not just specific to my ward, but as you indicated, that rental assistance program, which I think was a tremendous first step, 2,000 folks got $1,000 as a one-time payment, but 2% of the total applicants got that. We had 83,000 people apply. 1 in 12 Illinois workers have applied for unemployment benefits. A third of all renters across the country reported that they struggled significantly to pay rent. And I think as much as people struggled in April, May will in many ways be even a bigger challenge. And so we need to make sure that we're in a position to act quickly, act decisively, but also have a set of policies in place that are thoughtful and reflect the scope of the challenges that we're facing.
Yeah, well, this seems like a good step, and hope it works. I want to ask you, though, really quickly before we let you go, Alderman, virtual city council meetings, how is that going? It's only like a week old. Like, think about a week ago, I heard you were doing tests and trying to see how it worked, and now are things up and running? How's it going?
Yeah, I think it's been going well. Big credit to the mayor's team, in particular Tiffany Sostrin, who was for weeks looking at what would be the best fit for Chicago City Council. I think last week's meeting, although it was a short one, went well. Tomorrow will almost certainly be a longer one, because we'll be discussing a broader set of issues. but I've been really heartened to see how quickly we can get something up and running that is in fact working, because folks, of course, are struggling across the city, and they need their elected representatives to do everything they can to help in ways both modest and big. And part of that, of course, is just making sure that you're meeting in a public and transparent way, despite the fact that it does have to be virtually as opposed to in person.
I know you're all about that, and you ran on that, and that's part of what you're paying off on now, to tell people, hey, we want to be transparent, and it's very hard, but it is something that you guys are doing. How do we watch the city council meetings if we'd like to do that kind of thing while we're at home with looking for things to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think if you go to the city's website, that's going to be one of the very first things that you see. So you're going to be able to just click on something and then be able to watch virtually.
Okay, sounds good. Alderman, yeah, Matt Martin.
Chicago.gov.
Alderman Matt Martin, thank you. 47th Ward Alderman. Keep us posted and let us know how things go with this.
Absolutely. Thank you.